You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The inauguration of Donald Trump as our 45th president is this Friday. All this week, we'll hear from people in Michigan who supported Mr. Trump, find out what their expectations are for the new administration. Dr. Michael Basuito is a plastic surgeon based in Oakland County who was just elected to the Wayne State University Board of Governors. He supported Donald Trump's candidacy. Stateside's Lester Graham recently spoke with Dr. Basuito.
There were several Republicans running for the nomination. Do you recall when Trump first caught your attention?
Yes, actually I do. Earlier in the summer, I was visiting my mother's house. She's 87, lives by herself in Shelby Township, and friends were there. And suddenly, everyone had to be quiet, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and they were mesmerized. They were watching the TV at her house, and it turns out all these hardcore old Italian people are mesmerized by Donald Trump. When I saw that, I said, you know, this guy, he does have a movement going. If it's happening in my mother's living room, I'm sure it's happening across the country. There were all these closet Trump supporters out there, and I could feel it. That was the first time I felt it.
What Trump policies seem on target for you?
I don't know if it's any policy per se, but I'm in private practice. I'm a plastic surgeon, and so I'm a small businessman. If you look what's happening to us people who are in small business across the country with the rules and regulations that are coming down from Washington, it's obvious that people are imposing rules and regulations on us who have never, ever spent one day of their whole life in the private sector. And my feeling was, hey, we've got a guy now who is a businessman. He understands business. He understands how it works. Maybe he will impose some governmental rules that really work and that apply to the real world and small business.
Since you're a physician, I want to ask you about the Affordable Care Act. President-elect Trump has said he wants it to be repealed and then replaced. What's your thinking about the ACA?
The main issue is that, you know, if you look at the trajectory of health care costs in this country, I think we're approaching the 20% of GDP range. And if you look at the trajectory, it keeps going up and up. And if the trajectory of health care costs in this country as a percentage of GDP continues to rise, we're going to get to a point where we're not sustainable financially. I think there was a good intention in that. If you heard the president talk about it, he said he wanted to bend the curve down. However, the opposite is happening. It's not unusual for me to see patients with $8,000, $12,000 deductibles. So they'll come in my office and they'll say, I can afford my premium now, but I can't afford to get sick because the average Joe doesn't have $8,000 to $12,000 of expendable cash to put out if they get an illness.
Let me step back just for a second because I've heard some members of Congress say, look, let the free market take care of this. This shouldn't even be replaced. Do you think of health care as a privilege or a right?
I think that in a we practice welfare capitalism. I like to think that we're one of the most civilized countries in the world, if not the most. And I think along with that, I think that we are obligated to take care of everybody, which I think would place this in the category of a right.
Since as Wayne State University, Wayne State University governor, or you will be soon anyway, you'll be making decisions for one of the state's major universities. How will the sensibilities that led you to support Trump translate to higher education policies for you?
Let me give you an example. I talked to the second and third year students at our medical school about return on investment for medical education. There is not a day that goes by where I don't have a medical student who's north of $300,000 in debt. I see them regularly now with $400,000 in debt, and some now over $500,000 in debt. Here's the problem with that. They're entering into, after medical school, they can't afford to even pay the interest on the debt, and the compound interest curves keep running on them. And they don't understand that at that stage in their career when they're borrowing this money, that number one, you got compound interest curves running, and number two, when they pay it back, they're going to pay it back in after-tax dollars, most of it. Number three, they're paying a 7.1% interest rate, which is outrageous in today's world. And some of these poor kids, when they look at it, if they want to be a family practitioner or a pediatrician, they realize that they will never, ever get out of debt, despite the fact they're going to be working as a physician. Getting back to your original question, as a member of the Board of Governors, we're going to oversee policy in the university. I think we're obligated to educate kids in what is going to maximize their future. And I'm not talking about just financially, but I don't want these kids to pursue careers or paths where they don't understand where their debt's going to lead them and subject them to a life of just having to pay back loans.
What do you make of Mr. Trump's demeanor, his tweets reacting to perceived slights, his statements critical of intelligence agencies or their motives, and that kind of thing?
Oh, I think it's all calculated. I think that he's a very smart guy. He comes, as you know, I've never watched any. I don't watch TV. I watch news programs and sports as the extent of my TV watching, so I've never watched any of his shows. But, you know, we've become a country that's become addicted to the media. And, you know, the media thrives on sex, violence, and all kinds of controversies. And I think that if he didn't pose himself as a controversial candidate saying some of the things he did, I don't think he'd be president today. And I think he's learned how to use the media.
But he's no longer a candidate.
I understand. And I think you'll see him change course, because I think that was all calculated. Myself personally, I mean, I can't say, I've never met the man, so I can't speak for him or his team. However, if you get a guy like Trump, who's been extremely successful in the New York real estate market, I think you're dealing with a tough guy. And like he said in his campaign, you know, if you punch me, I'm going to punch you back. And I don't think the country is used to somebody in his position who's going to take on the press. And I just saw that. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw that little sparring that took place the other day between he and a CNN reporter.
Mm-hmm. John Costa.
Fake right. News issue. I think you can take a shot at him. I think he's going to make you pay the price.
As a reporter, I'll have to defend Jim Acosta, because he wasn't broadcasting fake news, but we'll go on from there. Where do you get your news?
I watch all sources. I watch, well, I work so much I don't get to watch it much, but I channel surf between Fox, MSNBC, NBC, and I follow online. I follow the Daily Mail. I like to read Pravda, you know, the Russian outlet. I watch them all. I listen to them all.
I want to ask you one last question. How will you measure success for President Trump?
You know, I don't know which president it was who made the comment about it's the economy, stupid. I think it was
it was Bill Clinton's campaign.
Anyway, it's about the economy. I think what people want, they want jobs. I don't think it's a matter of black, white, red, yellow. It's a matter of what we do with the economy and what he does with jobs and growing our economy. If he does that, I think a lot of other things will fix themselves. I think you'll see people becoming more content with their government and their country.
Michael Pesuito was recently elected to the Wayne State University Board of Governors. He's among the several Donald Trump supporters we've been talking to prior to the inauguration. Hey, thanks for your time.
Thank you.